Good morning, and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. I don't have my apron on.
You don't have your apron
no,
on.
No, no.
And our fabulous program director, Jack, already busted you for that.
I know. He's like, you don't have your apron on. You better not pretend you have your apron on.
So and now then, we all know.
And then John Stevenson said, you don't have your apron on. I'm not going to believe a word you say. Apparently, my apron lends me credibility.
Oh, it's like the magic feather for Dumbo, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It holds all the secrets.
Oh, or the leaf that my stupid dog carries around till it disintegrates and then it gets a new one.
Oh, it's autumn. He likes the fall.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It is, though. It is autumn.
It is absolutely autumn. It's kind of, chilly. And
yes.
When I stopped to get coffee on the way over this morning, the barista handed it out the window and said, oh, I like your corduroy shirt. It's that weather. And I didn't tell her I've been wearing this shirt all summer but because I'm always cold. But now it's appropriate. So that's good.
Yeah, I got to bed last night. Dale went to bed early and he had the windows wide open and a fan going, and I'm like checking for icicles, you know. Oh, it's so cold.
And it's not even winter. It is beautiful out there, though. I gotta say, it's absolutely visually gorgeous, and if you have a sweater, everything's hunky-dory.
Yeah, it's perfect out.
Yeah, it is. And the things that we can find to cook are changing too,
like so. Squirrels.
Specifically squirrels. And I saw a raccoon in the yard this morning. Oh my gosh.
Oh really?
Yeah,
that's exciting.
The dogs
for your dogs.
Yeah, they were thrilled. The raccoon not so much. So what have you been cooking, I wonder?
Oh Lord. So I'm not sure that I should be a co-host of this show because it's been boiling. Nothing very exciting, but I've been grilling, and I have had such a I need like spicy food. Do you ever get
a craving for that?
Yeah, so much.
I am, and I don't think I'm alone in the fact that I have 35 kinds of hot sauces from all ethnicities in my fridge or in my pantry. I think a lot of us have condiment overload.
Yeah.
But I use the salsas and the sauces all the time.
And for me, just right now, it's just chili oil. It's just that.
So
it's
good.
Just the chili garlic oil. And I just look at a thing and I'm thinking about cooking it. And then there's like this first step. Like usually your first step is it rotten? Has it been in the back of my fridge? And that's the test it has to pass, you know? But right now it's like, can I put coconut milk, peanut butter, and chili oil on it, and will it taste good? And you know, grape nuts, no, you know, but anything else. And so that's what I've just been doing. And then, and even though, you know, Dale likes hot food, but hot food does not like Dale.
Uh-huh.
So I have to make two different versions, and that's extra work for me. But I don't care. It's just that's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because it's orange and that's autumnal.
Oh, that's probably it.
Yes. Yes.
Some people do pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
We do hot sauce. Oh.
Yeah. I'm color coordinating with the seasons.
It's so important.
Yes, yes.
I made something with a hot honey thing recently that I think you would like.
You make such good hot honey. Just when you bring it to potlucks and stuff, just your hot honey with bread is so good.
I love hot honey, and I love hot honey with salted butter on like cornbread. Ooh.
Okay. Oh, that's a good idea.
But I was trying new recipes. I've been on a chicken thing lately because there was a sale.
Yay!
So now we're eating chicken.
Cheap chicken.
I will not succumb to another chicken sale anytime soon. But anyway, one of the recipes that I tried was roasted chicken thighs with hot honey and lime. And
oh, nice.
I tried a couple of chicken recipes since I saw you last, and I liked them both, but Tom liked this one.
Okay.
And he didn't say he didn't like the other one, but he didn't say he did like
it. So, which in our house means he didn't.
Same thing. Yeah, they're just polite.
I think from like being in the Coast Guard, Dale's so worried that if he says he doesn't like something, that then he'll have to cook from then on, because that was the rule in his... regiment or whatever they are, you know,
yeah.
that if you said anything negative, then it was your turn.
Ooh, good rule.
Yeah.
Really
so
good
if
rule.
He says, oh, this is rich, I mean, it might as well be made of, like, asphalt. And he just won't say.
Well, I don't think that Tom has was in sort of a punishing sort of situation like that. That would be a way to teach people something. But
he's just polite.
He's so polite.
Okay.
He's so polite. But this hot honey thing was not with hot honey that I made. It was honey and lime with chili in it.
Okay.
And it was really good. And the you made the sauce,
okay,
and then rubbed it all over the chicken and let it sit for a while, so it was like half of it, so that it was like kind of a marinade sort of thing, and then you had some of it left over to brush on after it came out from the oven, but it was just bone in, skin on chicken thighs, which, by the way, I used boneless, skinless, because that's what I had, and it worked just fine. You just didn't cook it as long, right? And they use onion powder, garlic powder, butter, and they said unsalted or salted. We don't care what kind of butter you use. And I thought that was unusual. I've never seen that in
a recipe. How uncontrolling of them.
Yes. And then hot sauce of your choice, lime, fresh lime, and honey. So those were all the ingredients, and it was really easy. I don't have onion powder. I never have onion powder.
Well,
I
and
just
here it turns
onions
to cement.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really, it's like the thing that most turns to cement the fastest in our winter climate.
So humid.
Yeah.
Well, I just minced up some onions. Yeah. Or actually, I did not. I just sliced some onions and put them underneath the, because it was in the oven, I just put them underneath the chicken and let it cook, and it tasted fine.
Well, where did you get the recipe?
I got it off of, it's a recipe by somebody named Valerie Lomas.
Okay.
And it was featured in New York Times Cooking, and I am not familiar with Valerie.
No, I've never heard her name.
It was a 5-star rating with over 4,000 people.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, that means a lot.
It was really good.
Okay.
I would do it again, and I would do that rub, that marinade, on other things. I would do it on winter squash. It would be great on winter squash.
Oh, that's a great idea.
It would be good on a kind of fish that wasn't too delicate. It would just be good on things. A pork chop, I don't even know. But I really liked that recipe, and you didn't have to make hot honey or buy hot honey.
Can you just say the marinade, like the quantities?
Yes. So you put the chicken to roast in the oven on a foil-lined pan. And all you've done at that point is sprinkle it with salt, pepper, onion powder, and garlic powder. You put it in the oven. And while it's in the oven, you're going to combine, I'm going to give you the actual 2 tablespoons of butter.
Okay.
Melted.
Okay.
2 tablespoons of hot sauce. And they're saying on the tip, different hot sauces have different levels of heat. Choose one that suits your heat tolerance. Tabasco will be quite spicy. And then, you know, we all have our favorite hot sauce.
Yeah.
Or know of a
and you don't have to use 2 tablespoons. Yeah. That'll affect the heat, too.
Or if you have some packets left over from a to-go meal, you got hot sauce somewhere. You need 2 tablespoons of it. And then and I used a locally made hot sauce.
Okay.
That is a pineapple habanero, which sounds like it would be killer hot, but it's really just killer delicious.
Yeah.
And that worked fine. It wasn't too hot, but you could tell it was there. Anyway, so you're mixing the melted butter, 2 tablespoons, with 2 tablespoons of hot sauce, and
How much honey?
2 tablespoons of honey, but you're waiting to deal with that. You're just mixing the hot sauce and the melted butter together.
Okay.
And after you've left the chicken in the oven for 20 minutes, you bring it out and brush it all over with half of the butter mixture. and put it back in.
Okay.
And while it's finishing, you're going to zest the lime and then cut it in half and add the honey and a teaspoon of lime zest to the reserve hot butter. Hot butter.
Hot
mixture.
Sauce. Yeah.
And whisk it together and brush it all over the thighs and then squeeze when they come out of the oven again. They're finally done. You're going to squeeze fresh lemon juice or lime juice all over the whole thing.
So you're not doing the honey right away on the chicken. That makes sense because it would probably burn.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But it does make them really, you know, it gets that cool finish on it.
Yeah,
when it's like lacquering it.
Kinda.
Yeah. It's really good. I recommend it. And you can look for Valerie Lomas, her first name or his first name. I don't know.
Yeah.
V-A-L-L-E-R-Y.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You know that thing that you said about onion powder? I don't ever use onion powder either. But I always sort of felt like onion powder, garlic powder, like it was sort of, I don't know. I don't want to say second rate because that sounds mean to the spice world. But I always use garlic and onion, just like you said, you always use onion.
Yeah.
And
but
then,
you use garlic salt.
Yes, on garlic bread, that's pretty much it. But this is a story that involves garlic salt.
Okay.
So the other day I was making mashed potatoes. So I just boiled some potatoes and mashed them with a little cream and a little butter. And then usually if I'm going to make garlic mashed potatoes, I cut the bulb of garlic in half and I put it in the oven and blah, 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 blah. You know, and that takes time and effort, and often I burn the garlic. That's just what I do.
That's your method.
yeah. Not supposed to. Doesn't taste good. But I just didn't want to do all that because I had a pretty lazy couple of weeks, and so I just put some garlic salt in the potatoes. And it was so funny because Dale's like, these are the best ever. They're so delicious.
And
I'm just like, oh, my
secret
gosh.
Secret ingredient.
Yeah. So I'm just going to do that from now on, and I see why people do it. It's so easy. And it really didn't taste second rate, you know?
Yeah.
It was good.
And I use garlic powder. I never have garlic salt because I have garlic powder and salt, or garlic and salt.
Yeah.
But when I make when I want garlic mashed potatoes, I just peel whole cloves of garlic and toss them in with the potatoes to boil.
Okay.
And then they get mashed.
Okay. That's a really good idea.
It's easy.
Well, and then the reason that I use the garlic salt is because I had the whole clove of garlic, but when I cut it in half, it was the whole clove of garlic, or the whole bulb of garlic from 1963. And so it was completely desiccated. So when I said I cut it in half, I didn't. I could tell when it weighed a gram and a half that something was off.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have it. But that's a really good idea to throw it in with the water.
Either one, though, I hadn't thought about putting, because I could make garlic salt by putting in garlic powder and salt.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. I do like garlic mashed potatoes really a lot.
Yeah.
Especially if there's not going to be gravy. You need something.
Yeah. And there wasn't gravy. Too lazy. I buy the garlic salt, I think mainly because I just use it on garlic bread, but because it has little flecks of parsley in there too.
Oh, does it?
I can tell how much. Well, this one does.
Yeah.
I can tell how much I've put on the garlic
bread.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
That's when you have something, you know, blonde, that you're putting on something blonde.
Yeah.
And you can't tell how much, you can, you know, kill your family.
Yeah.
if they're not vampires.
It goes from ooh to ouch real fast.
Yeah. So I think it's like a marker, and I like that.
Yeah. Well, there's, we have winter squashes.
Yep.
We have so much citrus. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Pears.
Yeah, the pears are really delicious. My favorite sandwich is, and I'm sure I've said it before, but it's pear, arugula, brie, and fig jam.
Oh, yum.
Just delicious.
That's good with ham, too,
and
in there.
Oh.
Or chicken. Yeah.
I didn't think of
that. Unnecessary, but, you know, nice.
Yeah. No, that's a really good idea.
Yum.
Yeah.
I'm just really, to tell you the truth, I'm just happy that I can turn on the stove again. It's not that our summer was all that hot. It wasn't.
No.
It's just that, you know, it's sunny and beautiful and you don't know what time it is because the sun never goes down. And by the time you get ready to go, it's like, oh, I could turn on the oven. But now it's 8:00.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then in the middle of the day in the summer here, it makes the house uncomfortable, even if it's not a bad summer, even if it's not 112 out. You know?
Yeah. That's true. So now it's nice because we need the heat.
Yes.
Very nice.
Because somebody has the bedroom windows open.
Hey, what's your favorite kind of winter squash?
I don't know if it's a winter squash specifically, but delicata. That is my favorite squash.
We are lucky that we can get that almost all year round.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we delve into the whole squash thing.
Scotch. On squash, that would be good.
Oh, really? It goes with everything. A nice sip of scotch. I just want to remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. And if you haven't been to those two websites, it's not because I haven't invited you. KMUN.org.
And do we have to send a car?
Holy cow. Yeah, right. Let's do a field trip to the Food Web website. Let's all go. NorthCoastFoodWeb.org, KMUN.org. Go there. You'll be happy you did. So tell me about squash.
I just really like delicata squash. I like it because it's easy to cut.
Yes.
For me, I don't know. I got really happy, you know, when I got that chopper box thing.
Yes.
So it's, and this is unrelated to squash, but just for onions especially, because I cut a lot of onions. Onions is in pretty much everything I make, it seems. And there's always some point where the onion is round, and then the knife slips off it, and I'm bleeding in the kitchen. And,
yeah, easy.
And the same is true of squash. I'm actually just a little squash shy for how much effort it takes to cut them, and just that amount of chopping, you can just easily cut an arm off. I don't know. I really appreciate that the delicata squash is easier to slice. Also that I don't have to skin it, that I don't have to peel it, rather. That's a little Ed Gein of me, skin the squash. Sorry about that. And it just roasts up so perfect.
And disembowel it. Don't forget that part.
Yeah. Evisceration.
Yeah.
First you skin it, then you eviscerate it. But I just cut it into half moons, you know, cut the squash in half, eviscerate it, and then chop it up. And I roasted at, I think, 425. My oven has a convection roast setting that I didn't know it had when I bought it, and I love. And it's the advantage it has is it just roasts the vegetables, but then for sure you get the little brown cringly edges that are so delicious and crunchy.
And it's faster.
Yeah. And I really, really like that. I really like squash that way.
Yeah.
I don't grill it. I don't really ever put it in the oven. I just, in the oven, like if you're roasting a boat, you know, like you do with the zucchini.
Right.
But I just really like it that way.
Do you ever make squash soup?
You know, I don't. I don't know why. I should, huh?
I don't know if you should, but it is one of my favorite things to do. And butternut squash is the same as a delicata in that it's ease of dealing with it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You don't have to peel it if you don't want to, and you don't have to risk life and limb to get
I didn't know that. I thought that you had to peel them. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you don't have to, but depending on what you're going to do. But if you're going to make it into soup, you got to peel it.
Yeah.
But you can peel it with a potato peeler.
Okay.
And that is that makes it easy peasy. But I do really like roasted squash soup with like a pat of compound butter floating on the top of it.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. But and I do really love roasted or baked, whatever you want to say, like a Danish squash or a acorn squash, and those are hard to cut.
Yeah.
They're really hard to cut.
Yeah.
I have one big knife that is really sharp, and I do have the world's best knife sharpener. That not my husband, although he's really good.
That's what I thought you meant.
No, he used to get tasked with this until I found the world's best knife sharpener, and it does in a matter of seconds what it would take my husband with a variety of whetstones and some oil. You know, if you're going to do it right, it takes some time, and that comes out perfect. But then do you want to do it again next week? No.
Yeah. Well, and I've got a big, giant cleaver. Hey, do you know what the German word for cleaver is?
No.
Hackmesser. Isn't that great? Hackmesser. I mean, it makes me want to be a serial killer.
Oh, my God. Does it really?
I don't know, but that's the second time I've mentioned serial killers on this show, and it's not even 20 minutes into it.
We need to get all of our listeners and me together for an intervention. We need to invite you out to lunch and then lock the door. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Hey, the other thing that I am reminded of in the fall is a whole bunch of braising greens and what you could with them over.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And I tried a recipe that I really liked by Melissa Clark. Melissa Clark.
Her recipes always turn out, and they're good.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good one. Oh, it's another 5-star with over 1,400 people rating it. But it was really, I really, really liked it. However, I combined it with another, I'm going to combine it next time I do it with another recipe that includes cherry tomatoes, because I think cherry tomatoes would be really great in this. But it was just skillet chicken with greens, and I happened to have a bunch of chard and a bunch of kale that, or collards actually, that were begging to be used.
They were in the vegetable hospice.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to use them quick before we had last rites. And so I found this. I was looking for a new recipe, and I found this one. And it was another sheet pan dinner. You know, of all the, I have talked smack about sheet pan dinners.
And we often change the vowel in sheet pan.
Yes, we do. Because I think most of them are gimmicky and not as good if you just use the regular utensils.
Oh, I know. When they throw potatoes and salmon on the same thing and you're just like, well, I wonder which one's going to be awful.
Gosh. You know? Yeah. Let's hope it's just the potatoes. Yeah. Anyway, it worked out really well in terms of timing and the way that it was cooked, but basically it was garlic, and for the one with greens, it was coriander, red pepper flakes, chicken thighs, scallions, and then greens, a couple of bunches of greens of your choice, and you end up using whatever it is you have there that you kind of forgot about because everything was laying on top of it.
Yeah.
It was making a nice, you know, bed for all the other things. And then chicken stock and whatever, a whole cup of herbs, whatever you've
got.
Wow,
that's a lot, huh?
Whatever you've got. And they recommend a variety of herbs, but all I had was parsley and basil, and that's what I used.
Okay.
And it was really good, and I would do it again, but I would mix it with Melissa's recipe for skillet chicken thighs with schmaltzy tomatoes.
That sounds really good. And it sounds like it needed something else.
Yes.
Mushrooms or tomatoes, yes, or something.
And the tomatoes like the chicken schmaltz.
Okay.
So
okay.
I would definitely just, and that the chicken thighs with schmaltzy tomatoes also had lemon zest in it. And I think both of those could benefit from lemon zest. What couldn't benefit from lemon zest?
I'm trying to think of something.
No, we can't. The reason it's taking so long is because you can't.
Licorice? No, probably would be okay.
I don't know. Finn's put salt. Is it Finn's that put salt with licorice? No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No. In many ways, I am a fan of all things Finnish, but really they're not to be trusted with licorice. You can't trust them with licorice. They put
they're
salt.
They're so licorice unreliable.
It's just not right.
I was making a grocery list a couple days ago, and I couldn't remember the word for Romanesco, you know?
Yeah.
And so I thought and thought, and I couldn't figure it out. And so on my list, I put Fibonacci broccoli. Isn't that funny? And then still, even though I wrote down, you know, because usually if you write down something stupid, you know, then you're like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Your brain will correct you.
Yeah, but it didn't. And I'm like, ugh. So I went to the computer and I typed in Fibonacci broccoli. And the first thing that came up was Romanesco. Isn't that funny?
Oh, my gosh. Say what you will about AI.
I know.
It knows
it
what
knows
we're
me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It gets me.
That's totally scary. I don't even get me. Gosh. Darn it. Anyway. Apples, quickly.
That's right.
You know.
And they're good this year.
They're so good. And there's so many kinds.
Yeah.
Do you do applesauce? Do you make applesauce?
Yeah, I do. So I talked to, just randomly, I think in a dog park, a food scientist once. And I asked her about if I could just cut the apples in half and cook them that way, not core them, because I do the lazy way. I cut them in half. I just core them real quick, and then I leave the peel on, and I use a food mill to get the peels off, and that works really, really well. It goes fast, and then some of the color from the peels gets in the applesauce, and then it's very pretty. And so that's why I'm friends with David and Lisa Reed, because they have a Liberty apple tree, and that makes the prettiest color of applesauce,
sure, so does.
Pink. But she said that if you don't cut out the cores, the seeds, I was worried about arsenic, but she said the seeds make the applesauce bitter. So I always core them.
Yeah.
And I said that I cut them in half. I don't. I do the method you taught me, which is to just go whack, 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 whack around the core at 90 degrees, 90 degrees, 90 degrees. And then you have just a little square core, and it just goes so fast.
Yeah, it does. It goes really fast. And it's just, what do you put in it?
I put in, my secret, don't tell anybody, is mace.
Oh, really?
I think it's delicious in applesauce. So cinnamon, nutmeg, and mace. Do I put any cloves in there? I do put a little bit of clove.
Okay.
So it's just a little bit of mace, a little bit of clove, and then cinnamon, lots, and nutmeg. And then vinegar. No, that's if I'm going to apple butter. So sorry. Yeah, okay. No vinegar.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes I will put a squirt of lemon juice in there or a little bit of lemon zest.
No, I've never done that.
Well, it depends on the apples.
Yeah.
Some are sweeter than others, and
yeah,
you can get away with more messing around with them. But it is apple season, and it is an opportunity for us to make applesauce in all of the above ways and more.
Yeah, so applesauce, all you have to do is you just get a big pot of apples, and then you put water up just to cover them. And then you just boil it until they're very, very soft. And then what I do is I run it through a food mill. If you peel them, you don't have to, but it's a lot of work to peel them. And the food mill, the peeling is a lot of matter. So I just run the crank forwards and backwards, and that seems to work a lot better than just running it in one direction.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, you have wall-to-wall carpet in the bottom of your food mill, and you have to stop and peel that off.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, food mills are an indispensable tool for very specific things.
Yeah.
They are.
They seem kind of old-timey, but
they're really
useful. They're not.
Useful.
They're really, yeah.
And it beats the socks off of putting something in a sieve and pressing it with the back of a wooden spoon. Please. I'm too old.
I never would have done that.
Be dead by the time it's over.
Come on. Especially, I mean, I make a decent quantity. And I put it in the freezer because I like the flavor of it when it's frozen better than I like the flavor of it when it's canned. But
yes.
A lot of people don't have, nine freezers. So
I think only you, actually, except for some big commercial enterprises.
I'm sure there's other people.
Do you console yourself with that fact? Because it's not true.
It's so funny because a couple times this year, somebody said, hey, I got, 70 extra pounds of blueberries. Hey, I got 150 extra pounds of cranberries. Do you want them? And I'm like, sure. You can't say that unless you have 9 freezers.
Oh, my gosh. Yipes, I can't even keep one defrosted. I cannot. I mean, it's hard.
Poor Dale.
I need a smaller freezer, actually. If I did get around to getting a smaller freezer, which would be much more efficient for my new regime of not having things in the freezer that I don't even know what they are anymore.
Yeah.
I have foregone the archaeological digs that used to be my freezer, and now it's not nearly as full, and I could get by energy-wise with a smaller freezer.
Yeah.
So I will check with you when I'm ready to offload my freezer. Maybe you want a tenth.
Well, it's a nice round number.
It is such a round number. It's a chest freezer, though, and there are advantages.
They're very efficient.
Yeah, they are. They're very efficient. But also, if you're a saver, it's who knows what's under there. Hey, we're out of time.
Uh-oh.
You want to sing us out?
I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around in a chest freezer. I'm driving my broccoli and my Fibonacci broccoli. I'm driving a bushel of corn home. Get outside, everybody. It's like the last day of sun.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Marianne. Bye.
Bye.